As the story goes, when Robin Davidson first met Bruce Chatwin, the room was loud with the sound of flapping cockatiels. They were in Doris Lessing's London flat, and Bruce Chatwin, author of Songlines and In Patagonia, had dropped by for some advice on camels and the nomadic life. Their meeting and Bruce Chatwin's later appearance at the Adelaide Writers' Festival in 1984 are described in Shane Maloney's book Australian Encounters. It's a little book of literary trivia and, dare I say it, gossip about chance meetings and some influential ones too between writers and politicians and artists and singers and activists. Shane Maloney, as you'll know, is the creator of the Murray Whelan series, and he's used some of these detective skills that perhaps he gave to Murray to put together this collection of vignettes with illustrations by Chris Grosch. Shane Maloney, welcome to the book show again.
Hello, Ramona. It's always a great pleasure to chat with you.
So what's the idea behind these meetings?
Well, I'm interested in the idea of coincidence, and it seemed to me that that there were some quite strange pairings that I'd become aware of in Australian history, not so much pairings as sort of paths crossing, and that combined very unusual people. And for the last 4 years or so, I've been writing, and Chris has been illustrating, a column in the monthly magazine, which sort of teases these out and explores some of them. So some of them are literary, and some of them are historical, and some of them are well known, and some of them are real Hooda Thunkets. You know, Elvis Presley sparring with Lionel Rose, for example.
Let's keep on the
bill with Jack Benny, but some of them were literary. And
well, let's keep it on the literary, straight and narrow. Well, who'd have thanked Leonard Cohen and George Johnson?
Well, yeah, who'd have thank it? I'd heard.
Given I've just had, my almost yearly, worship at the shrine of Leonard Cohen, not the shrine.
Well, that's right. Len's doing the rounds at the moment.
Yeah.
And I'd sort of vaguely been aware of this story about how certain Australians had met him on Idra, where he was living in 1960, and so I followed this up and checked the biographies. I will point out that there's very little gossip in here, Ramona. These are meticulously historically researched pieces. That is to say that if there are the facts, that's what I aim for. So I looked in various biographies and memoirs and so on, and found that Leonard Cohen and George Johnson and Charmian Clift had indeed not just met but been very good friends, and Leonard Cohen had some very complimentary things to say about them. So, the story was that George Johnson, having been a sort of pretty prominent war correspondent, had gone off to do the literary expat thing. He was a real sort of pioneer in that, and he and Charmian were living really in a quite sort of poverty-stricken circumstances on a Greek island while he worked on his great novel My Brother Jack, and young Leonard Cohen, who was a poet
and a successful poet.
Well, to the extent where he'd got an Arts Council grant from the Canadian Arts Council, he got enough to buy himself a blue overcoat, a blue Burberry overcoat, and an Olivetti typewriter, and to write an autobiographical novel. But he was really looking for a bit of inspiration, and he was having a rather miserable time in London, and he set upon the idea of going to Greece, and he just bowled up on Idra, this little island where George and Charmian and some other kind of expat arty types were living, and he was taken into the fold. And in fact, the introduction that they made to him of the other expats included Marianne Jensen, who was the wife of a Norwegian novelist.
Which was the inspiration for So Long, Marianne.
Yeah, and in fact that's Marianne on the cover, as I understand it, of the Songs from a Room album that a lot of people will be familiar with. And the table that she's sitting at is the one that was given to Leonard by George and Charmian, because he had no furniture or anything, and they they put him up in their spare room.
Well, another coupling, I suppose, a meeting, is perhaps not so surprising once you get into it. It was a fan letter that started a meeting between crusading journalists and writers Martha Gellhorn and Australian John Pilger. Tell us about that one.
Well, yeah, Martha Gellhorn is a great figure, I think. She's really the absolute model of the foreign correspondent. She was married to Hemingway for a while, but she was a sort of well brought up middle class girl from, I don't know, sort of the Midwest or something. But she went off to Paris after the First World War. They didn't have very much money, but she was very, very comely, attractive, tall, you know, and...
she was a model at one stage, wasn't she?
Yeah, what she used to do was Chanel and Schiaparelli would provide their gowns to, slim, striking women to attend cocktail parties. And so she would, as it were, sort of product placement. So she'd wander around in these gowns and she got to eat the sandwiches, and that was the sort of living that she made. But she then became a foreign correspondent, and she wrote extensively and went back to the US and covered a lot of the sort of backwater daily life in the mines and mills during the New Deal. And ended up then in Europe, covered the Spanish Civil War, and Hemingway, in fact, not just married her, but dedicated For Whom the Bell Tolls to her.
And she was a much braver journalist than he ever was.
Oh, yeah, you know, he was really annoyed about that. She was on the beaches of Normandy while he was puttering around Havana trying to write, trying to get his mojo back.
And she was one of the first people into Dachau.
Yeah. And she was tremendously sort of generous and outgoing and progressive, and she was watching television in her flat in London in 1978, and she saw John Pilger being interrogated about his documentary on the Vietnam War, she wrote him a fan letter and said, she thought he'd put up a sterling performance and was very interested in the film and so on. They eventually got in touch, he was quite touched. Of course, he knew who she was. And 3 years later, they finally caught up and sat down at a screening after one of his films. And became mates, and he'd go over there and they'd drink and talk, and she was a terrible, terrible housekeeper and never sort of couldn't boil an egg, so they'd drink a bit of famous grouse and wander around. She was a chain smoker. They got thrown.
Well, he has an interview with her on his website, which I've just seen, and she sort of smokes every possible minute unless she's stubbing her cigarette out. But interesting, Chris Gross has illustrated these, as we've said, but the way he's drawn them, they could almost have been brother and sister, an older sister and younger brother, just very attractive faces and sort of rather interesting hair. But he's sort of drawn them, I guess, because they're like minds and like spirits.
Yeah, Chris's illustrations are an essential part of our sort of collaborative working on this in the columns and the books. And I go off and do the sort of historical research. We collaborate on the idea of who we might, whose encounter we might describe. And I kind of try and get it as historically accurate as possible. And he sort of riffs on the idea of the companionship or what it is that they have in common, and the illustration he has for John Pilger and Martha Gellhorn, she is smoking four cigarettes simultaneously while reading his book,
and he's reading hers. Well, tell me about the research you do. I mean, we don't know these things often because they're not that easy to find out, or they're not obvious.
No, that's right. The who'da thunk it element's a very important one, and there's a fair amount of head scratching goes on to try and put these, come up with these encounters. And lots of people make suggestions and feed in, and please, anybody who's listening who's got any ideas for these, it is a continuing project. And so we've got to come up with these sort of combinations, you know, on a kind of regular basis. But then the research begins, and that's what I really enjoy about it. I'm learning an incredible amount about Australian history, an area that I didn't know very much about, as a result of this research. And it often involves, you know, stuff that's that has to be dug up out of archives or...
And where do you start? I mean, give us an example of how you've gone about it.
Well, you know, we'll come up with a general idea, and then I'll, you know, do some very rough web searches, basically, to see if there's anything in it, and then start to get down to the original sources, because I, you know, it's about the reactions that people have towards each other. It's the moment of actual contact that interests me, when they first came face to face with each other, or by what strange path had they encountered each other. So their own reactions are important to me. So I'm really looking for reminiscences or memoirs or a historian's account. So that then often leads me into a library, or in fact I might start in a library by simply cruising up and down the biography open stacks and pulling out biographies of Australians that interest me and thumbing through the index until I find a name that...
Like Elvis Presley or...
Yeah.
So, is there anything, I mean, in the last minute or so, is there anything of a cringe here though, Shane? I mean, Australians meeting famous people?
This was deliberately modelled on a more general one that appeared in the Atlantic during the 80s by... an American couple called Sorrell, Nancy and Edward, and they did sort of world historic figures. When I first saw that, I thought it'd be really interesting to do that with Australians and just see, you know, to some extent, you know, how Australians fitted into the world stage, but also, you know, those strange circumstances and quirks that bring people here or connect Australians abroad with larger sort of movements. So
right.
I've got a deliberately Australian focus, you know, so I could teach myself Australian history in my spare time.
All right. Well, thanks for being on The Book Show again, Shane.
Thanks, Ramona.
Shane Maloney created the words and Chris Grosch the images for their collection, Australian Encounters. The book is published by Black Ink, and the articles originally appeared in The Monthly. This is The Book Show on ABC Radio National. I'm Ramona Koval.